I want to thank Sarah for the opportunity to share with you this morning. This sermon comes out of a devotional that I gave at a recent CLT meeting, and she said, could you please expand that into a sermon? So for those on CLT, I apologize. You'll hear some of this for the first time. Let me give you some context. Some of you know that I have been involved in my professional career with sports for 45 years. It started at Locust Grove Mennonite School, a K-8 school in Lancaster, which I taught physical education and coached most of the boys' sports. I did teach handwriting. I have no idea why, but I did. And unfortunately, one of my players from that time is not here, Paul Lehman. That either makes me feel really old or tells me that I was really young when I got started. I spent 9 years there, and then we moved to Camp Hebron in Halifax, Pennsylvania, which is the Highland Retreat of Lancaster Conference area. We had a good time there. I then returned to Lancaster Mennonite High School, where I served as athletic director, and for 14 years I took that role, plus added a few others once in a while. I was the daily chapel planner. I was an assistant high school principal. I was a middle school principal. Guidance counseling. I did some of that as well. But all of that time, I was serving as an athletic director. Following those 14 years, we made our last move here to the Shenandoah Valley, and I served for 17 years as a director of athletics at EMU. I go back to where I started. Those of you, well, all of us, for the most part, are realizing what question every senior in high school is asked. I mean, well, all you college students, what question were you asked in your senior year as it came towards graduation? What are you going to do next? All right. We all do that. So I had to come up with figuring out what I was going to say to people. And during that time, I did some reflection. Now, I'd like to think that I was waxing really philosophical, but I'm sure I wasn't as a high school senior at Christopher Dock Mennonite High School. But I did realize that it was through sports that I learned the most about myself. No offense to my mother and my grandmother who taught me Sunday school, but I think I learned more in sports than I did from them. So I was determined that I was going to help other people, because I became convinced that one of the reasons that God gave me ability, some would question that term ability, in sports, was because that's where he wanted to meet me. It actually started in junior high school. 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I don't really remember. Sitting in math class, the teacher was returning the test. Now, all of you know how teachers return tests. Face down. Why? Because of the grade. So she came around and she put that test down there, and I started by picking it up, and sure enough, I saw red. And what was in red was a big F. I took that paper, reached underneath, got my notebook, and I slid it in there, and no one ever knew. After about the fifth one of those, my parents knew, but other than that, no one knew that. Later that same week, I was playing with the basketball team, and I'll bore you all the details of a junior high boys basketball game, all right? I'm not going to get into all of that. But at least to say, we came down to the end. There were about 10 seconds left. The game was tied. And the coach called a timeout and set up a play for me to shoot the ball from the corner, and which was one of the plays that we had. We set up the play. We ran the play. The ball came to me. I shot the ball. The horn sounded. The ball clanked off the rim. At the same time that was happening, I felt someone had hit my hand. I heard the officials whistle, and they called a foul. No time left on the clock. down by 2 points, and I get 2 foul shots. Again, I will bore you all the details to say I missed both of them. In that experience, I began to realize that I learned an awful lot about myself that day. I learned a lot about my teammates, about my coach. The next day in the lunchroom, I learned a lot about my friends. And unfortunately, I learned something about my friend's parents. I could give you many, many stories about ways in which the involvement of sports in people's lives have helped them shape who they are. And with permission, I will share one of Jackson Moss. Jackson was a goalkeeper at Eastern Mennonite University for a number of years. And I recall the night he was playing. And if you know the field at Eastern Mennonite University, you got the bank behind it along Park Road, and that's where a lot of the parents sit. I'll never forget listening to a parent, the parent of the backup goalkeeper, yelling very loudly, "Put the real keeper in." And eventually, when the real keeper came in, "Now we'll see what happens." I've never talked to Jackson about that particular story, but I shared it with his permission this morning. Can you imagine what kind of, as I see in that, two characters were revealed? He has the opportunity, and I'm sure knowing Jackson, he took that opportunity to grow as to who he was. I could tell a story of Justin King. Came to EMU with my persuasion over pizza in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Came down here with a dream of playing baseball. Never got to start for a variety of reasons, which I personally thought weren't quite fair, but I have never heard a more profound reflection than what that man shared at our banquet at the end of the year. I'll let you talk to him about it if you want to. I could continue to go on and on with stories about how sports can reveal character, can grow character. So, when I answered the question, what do you want to do? What are you doing next? It was, I want to help other people for whom athletics will be the avenue through which they meet God. Not totally, but clearly a piece of the puzzle. I'm convinced that what you have been blessed with, whether it be vocation, avocation, whether it be hiking, ancestry, computers, music, whatever it is that you have talents in and that you are involved in, volunteer work, whatever it is, all of those experiences you have been given to you and I so that we can learn about ourselves. During my time at Lancaster Mennonite High School, I became increasingly disturbed by what I saw happening within some of the sports movement. It was moving further away from what I had in mind about growing and developing as a person through those experiences. The individualism of our society, I think, broke in major ways, in which it became about me or about my parents, not about participation, not about community, not about what I can learn. And it was very disturbing. Because what I had started out my professional career in and the reasons that I was doing that were no longer part of the reality. And don't get me started on stories that I could tell about students coming to my office. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to quit. Have you told your mom? I've told her, but I can't tell dad. It'll never happen. It'll never work. Burnout, quitting. I've had players ask coaches, please cut me from the team so I don't have to quit. I can't deal with that in the face. I could tell you story on story about similar to Jackson's experience. Someone once told me that one of the reasons they developed youth sports was to give a license to parents to be idiots. So what do we do? What do I do with this conundrum of what I really wanted to do was slipping away into something that I wasn't comfortable with? So I started reading all that I could, whatever was written about youth sports. Any Given Monday was a book by a physician who talked about all the injuries that they deal with on a Monday. Will You Still Love Me If I Lose was another one. I read as much as I could, developed some ideas about how this might come about, and then had the distinct privilege of working with Menno Media and an author from North Carolina, and together we wrote a book on youth sports, now about 10 years old. Don't worry, the royalty checks are zilch. So I think I wrote it more for me than for anybody else, possibly. Another significant piece of that was once moving down here to Virginia, Clyde Kratz was very instrumental in helping me secure a ministerial license from Virginia Conference for speaking about faith and sports in churches. And I did that for a number of years in seminars, workshops, et cetera, and had a wonderful time doing that. During the course of that, of course, I had to figure out, everybody would ask me, well, where are the scriptures that talk about sports in the Bible? Well, that took me on another journey. And if you will forgive a few dad or grandpa jokes, I will tell you that baseball is the very first thing talked about in the Bible when it mentions the big inning. I've warned you. And tennis. Where's tennis, Daryl? There are a lot of people that served in Pharaoh's courts. Sorry. And, of course, we all know about the track and field, although I'm not sure we're convinced that it's track and field because when you run the race, we're not sure whether they're talking about chariots or people. But anyway, it was mentioned there. In the course of all of this, I found this passage in 2 Peter. Doesn't say anything about sports. But let me help you take a look at it. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. I believe that supports my notion that whatever gifts, talents, and abilities and involvements you have, everything is there for you to learn about yourself and God. Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him is right here. Now, I'm not one that likes to make a lot of spiritual correlations to spilled milk or finding lost keys after prayer meeting. But I would like to think that if we are open to the experiences that we are having, it will teach us a lot about ourselves and about others. So, if we have everything, then Peter, who was writing to the faithful people at that time, says to them, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. We could also go, I believe you could add to the fruit of the Spirit. You could add that to this particular list. Now the next verse is the athletic piece. See if you can catch it. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Him. Justin, where do the ineffective and unproductive players sit? On the bench. They're set aside. Who would ever want to be ineffective and unproductive in our relationship to Christ? I don't think many of us would like to do that. So the question today is whether or not you and I have these qualities in increasing measure. When I look at the parallels in my own life and my own experience of sports, these are the types of parallels that I can draw from and help me out. Do we have them in increasing measure? Any one of these, you can add a whole bunch more to it if you want to. So, are you more patient now than you were last year? We talk a lot about generosity in this congregation, and it's wonderful. Are you and I more generous than we were 5 years ago? 6 months ago? Kindness, perseverance, dealing with pain. Any of these qualities of life, trying to become more Christ-like, living a life that reflects His love and His grace and His mercy. Do we have them in increasing measure? I don't have a lot of answers for you as to how to do that. I do know that God does not keep a chart. This is not about charting things and saying, okay, I did this time, so now I can do that next time and next. It's not about that. It gets close to that, I understand, when you're trying to measure how resilient you are, how patient you are, how kind you are, how generous you are, how loving you are, how much you have self-control. But I would hope that in the same way that many of the stories I shared, those persons reflected upon that experience, I hope that each of us will take the opportunity after we have come through the valley, after we have come through the painful experience, to sit down and reflect upon how well did I do? And can I deal with the next one? And when I face the next one, will this experience here help me out to become more over here? If we don't take the time to think about it and reflect upon it, I don't think we will understand fully. One other piece of this that I'd like to share is I think one of the ways that we can understand this is to affirm each other and to share each other. When you see that a brother or sister is generous, is loving, experiences self-control in a tough situation, tell them. Share with them what you've seen. How much you saw the growth from here to there. We're all a little too proud to pump ourselves up and say we're doing really good. So we may have to have it from other people. So I encourage us to encourage others. Are you using your experiences of life to generate more Christ-like qualities within yourself? May it be so.